This episode of the Better Every Shift podcast is sponsored by The Fire Store. Learn more about getting the gear you need at prices you can afford by visiting thefirestore.com.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Better Every Shift podcast. I'll be your host. My name is Aaron Zamzo. I'm a fire lieutenant up in Wisconsin where it's cold and rainy. But we're not cold, rainy, or dreary here today because we have a very special guest. Before we get to that guest, I wanted to also introduce my partner in crime, the commander, the editor-in-chief of Fire Rescue One, Janelle Fasquette. Janelle, how are we doing today?
Doing great. It's a West Coast show. I'm loving it.
It is a West Coast show. I am on the West Coast. I'm a transplant or implant, I guess, right now for the weekend. And with us, we have Captain Andy Glaze, who is an ultra cool person, an ultra marathoner, an ultra nice guy. And we're ultra happy to have you here. Captain Glaze, welcome to the program, man. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
The reason I'm using the word ultra, you're an ultra marathon runner. And a fire captain. You work for Laverne Fire Department outside of Los Angeles, and you've been doing some ultra long distance, which is 100 miles or so events, and you've been doing that for a long time. And you're here with us to talk about that, but also talk about all the other intangible things that go with just running and being more fit and being more active. And we're excited to learn a little bit about your story. You know, I'm going to start right off the bat. What got you running? What got you started in this?
What got me started was I was an early 20s, out of shape guy who was probably drinking too much and smoking cigarettes and just not in a good place. I was not a firefighter at the time. I was a computer software engineer type guy, and was having all sorts of anxiety and depression issues, and turned to exercise, first the weights in the gym, and then after that into a little bit more cardio and then a mixture of the two to get me out of the anxiety and depression I was feeling. And it made me feel so good that I've just never stopped, and now it's a huge part of my life.
When did you start to take the Forrest Gump approach? And I had to get that in there too, right? Like, cause it was kind of like you started at what, obviously like a 5K, and then take me on that kind of mindset or that journey.
I got really into triathlons for a while. So I was swimming, running, and biking. And then when I got into the fire service, I started doing a lot of those obstacle course races, like Tough Mudders and stuff, because I found that it was like similar to what we call like a grinder at our department, which is like, you know, a workout that you do that, you know, with a bottle, and, you know, you throw a ladder, then you pull a hose and you go upstairs and you do all that sort of, you know, back to back sort of like HIIT workout in turnouts. And I sort of found that like the obstacle course racing had a similar vibe to that. So I got really into that. And then somehow someone told me about this sport of ultra running, which I had never heard of before. I didn't even know it existed. I thought everything ended with the marathon, which is 26 miles, but it goes way, way further than that. So, the Tough Mudder had a 24-hour Tough Mudder, and I signed up for that. And I thought, well, I better start training for that. And so I ran an ultra marathon to train for the 24-hour Tough Mudder, and then the rest is history. I continued to run ultra races after that.
So you started like, just, you know, if somebody's listening and they're like, I hate running,
right?
You didn't like running to start, right?
Oh no, I hated it. Yeah, it was terrible. I mean, even now, the first couple miles is always terrible, and I always tell people that, like, when I'm coaching them on running, I'm like, look, the first couple miles are going to suck. So you just got to emotionally prepare for that. And then once you get through those couple miles, then things get better. And
is it getting into a groove though? Or is it literally like the endorphins?
I think it's the endorphins. It's the body loosens up a little bit. You know, the discomfort and the pain that you feel like when you first start running will kind of dissipate. And then, you know, the stronger you get, obviously, the longer you can go. And then the longer you can go, the more good feeling you get. So it's like if you start off and you can only do 2 miles, then, you know, it's not going to be a great experience because the first mile is going to suck. And then the second mile is just 1 mile. But if you can get yourself up to a higher level, like, say, 6 miles, then you have 1 mile of terribleness and 5 miles of good. And also, like, I encourage people to not try to sprint. There's like a common misconception that running is sprinting. I am of the opinion that we should be doing a lot of like what I call zone two running, which is when your heart rate's in zone two. And it's, you know, often people call it jogging, but the definition of jogging is to run. So, but it's just that slower pace. And if you try that, it's a lot more enjoyable than going out and just running as hard as you possibly can for as long as you can. And if you go slower, you can go a lot further. So yeah, I mean, these are just things that I try to emphasize, because for so long, I feel like running has been like just about how long you can sprint or how long you can run as hard as you can, like, you know, zone five, which is, you know, your max heart rate. And that's not what I'm doing. I'm going zone two as long as I can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Longer, the more you can controlling your heart rate, controlling, right. Also then, you know, metabolic systems and energy levels and, you know, not to get too sciencey on people. You know, I do want to highlight something. You talked about, you know, Tough Mudders or Spartan races. We just had Joe DeSena on, who is a CEO of Spartan. And he is actually granting any firefighter, EMT, any first responder, a free Spartan race this year on him to get people off the couch. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit behind the scenes. We all need to be doing more in the fire service, right? Because we have all these health issues. Tell me a little bit about like your whole journey and how you feel like that's really helped you, you know, just as an individual. And then when you join the fire service, kind of relying on that fitness side of things.
I think the two big things in the fire service right now that we're really dealing with, the number one thing that everyone's talking about is mental health. And then when you look at the factors that are killing firefighters beyond cancer, it's, you know, it's always cardiovascular issues, strokes and heart attacks. So, you know, for me, physical fitness is what saved my mental health. And whenever I do blood work, physicals, anything like that, obviously my cardiovascular health is like super strong. And so, you know, I'm addressing the two huge factors in the fire service through movement. You know, like they say, movement is medicine. And, you know, I don't care if you run, if you walk, if you bike, if you swim, if you lift weights, whatever you're doing, as long as you're moving and you're, you know, addressing those things through that, then I think it's like a really good thing. And that's what it did for me. You know, the Spartan thing, what's cool is like, I did that with a bunch of firefighters. I was doing Tough Mudders with them. You know, you get that, like you get a crew, you know, it's like A shift is like, hey, let's all go do a Spartan race. That's fun to do with your crew. And then you can all talk about it. It gets the guys like motivated. And then, we got to train for the Spartan race. So then you guys all start training together. Yep. It's when you can get everybody working out together, it's a good thing, especially on shift. It really helps with the, you know, the shift vibe. You know, you want everyone to be in shape, right? You're only as good as your bottle. So if you got one guy that'll suck a bottle down in 8 minutes and everybody else takes 25, you know, you're not going to be that strong, that chain, you know, you're only as strong as your weakest link. But if you're all in really good shape and you're all physically fit and you can really, you know, kick some butt on a fire. So,
yeah. What's that like at the station on your on days? Like, are you going out for runs, like between calls? Like, are you trying to get folks on your crew to go run with you? Like, how do you fit that in?
Okay. So we have like an hour or so in the morning that we can work out. So, and we can do whatever. We have the union bought us all gym memberships. So a lot of times we'll go to the gym, which obviously you can lift weights, you can run, you can do whatever. If it's like, if we get busy and we can't make it to the gym, then we also have a small gym at the station. And we also have like a 5-story building across the street. So normally we do some sort of, we'll either do a bottle workout or run, and we'll do stairs or there'll be weights, some sort of workout every morning, you know, assuming, you know, call volume. And then after like 5 or 6 PM, it's, you know, we're allowed to do what we want to do. And a lot of times that will be more physical fitness, you know, if you want. That's more of like a optional, because that's your time, right? If you want to sit and watch TV, you can sit and watch TV. And you know, a lot of guys do that. So for me, I wake up super early, like 3:30 in the morning, and I start working out then while everybody else is sleeping in between calls. So,
and that's like right on the cusp of like, is that really morning or is that the night before?
My wife says that all the time. She's like, that's not morning. That's still night. But yeah, I you know, and what I do is a lot of just, I do fire station loops. So, you know, little like sort of quarter mile loops around the fire station, holding a radio. If we get a call, it's like a, you know, 30-second sprint back to the station and then I'm ready to go. But, you know, obviously my guys don't do that, but they will run with me. My engineer, who's like, he's like 57. He runs like 2 to 4 miles with me a day. The other guys will occasionally run with me, but you know, it's, we're a fit crew and we appreciate fitness, but we all have our own passions on what we like to do. So I don't push running on anybody, but I do push, we're going to be a fit crew. And, you know, I lead by an example as far as being fit. So,
yeah, people don't have to run ultra marathons.
No.
And I'll say it numerous times during this, because they don't have to be an ultra marathoner. They don't have to be an Ironman. They don't have to be a diehard CrossFitter or weightlifter. Find something and do it consistently. And right, like, and you found different things throughout your career. Do you ever think what's next after ultra running? Like, let's say you're injured or something happens. Right. Like, what else do you think you'll tap into to help kind of keep your mental and your physical condition going?
I mean, it'll be something. I've literally done, it'll be something endurance. I mean, I've power lifted, you know, where I bench 3 plates. I got really into that and just, I'm going to bench 3 plates. And I spent like a year building my strength up so I could do that. Like I said, I've done triathlons, it'll be something, but I do think about that. Like, obviously if I get injured, what am I going to do? I know I'll find something. If I got paralyzed, I'd be the guy out there with the cycle, like, you know, like going, yeah, like the, you know, I mean, I would figure something out, because it's just a passion in mine to do that. And I don't feel well if I'm not. So, but you know, hopefully I can run. The nice thing about running is it's one of those sports you can really do forever. And, you know, there's a lot of examples of that. I just ran a 100-mile race like a couple of weeks ago, and it was the national championships. And so it was like age groups, and there was six guys that were over 85 running it. So, you know, and one of them set the 85 world record, you know, time for running 100 miles. So, you know, pretty amazing, you know, to see an 85-year-old out there, you know, running 100 miles, still able to go.
Well, you know, you mentioned building up, like with the lifting and whatnot. Clearly a goal-oriented person here we're talking to. Now, when we had Joe DeSena on the show, he talked about always having something on the calendar. Are you kind of the same way, where you like love having something to look forward to, like a race on the calendar, or is just the streaking part of it? Sorry, Aaron. I know, Aaron, you're just gonna go for it with the
going through reference. The quads, man. We're going.
I know we're going streaking, but you're on a 100-mile streak.
I'm obligated to say something when you do things like that. Kind of like like jogging.
I brought it on myself.
Right? Yeah, jogging. The J is silent. I think they refer things to it as jogging.
Yes. Yeah. Apologies for setting Aaron up. But yeah, so you've been doing this 100 miles a week, right?
Yeah, I run over 100 miles a week, and this is my 208th week, which will be 4 years straight when I finish this week.
Wow. Yeah. Congratulations.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's both. Like, I just love to run, obviously, but I also am very goal-oriented, and I do have a lot of races on the calendar, and I do like to focus on the races, but I also like to focus on the streak. It's a little of both, but I do like having goals. And in my sport, like, a lot of times you have to run certain races to get into other races. And so some of the goals is like, okay, I have to do this race so that I can, in 2 years from now, get into this race over here. And some of it's like that too. It's more long-term goals. Even though it looks short-term, oh, Andy's running this race. There's like, there's thought behind why I pick that race and why I'm doing it. So.
Well, yeah. Speaking of streaking, you're encouraging, this is going to come out wrong, but it's really, you're encouraging other people to create their own streak or to do their own streaking. And that's really your passion, right? Like we talked about running and where you've gone, but now your real passion is to pass this forward. Right.
Right.
And yeah. So talk about what you're doing right now.
So I have a large social media presence across all platforms, probably over 600,000 people, and quite a few firefighters do follow me. And so my crew and I kind of, we start talking and we're like, hey, they wanted to run 100 miles in March. And I was like, that's awesome. Let's make a challenge. And it was like an A shift thing. And then I was like, hey guys, why don't we put this on social media, turn this into like a firefighter thing and see if we can get like more firefighters to join us. And so I made a video, you know, there's an app, like a workout app called Strava. And I made a group in Strava that people could join, and it just like took off and went super viral. You know, I think we have every state, there's a firefighter from every state that's joined, and I think 7 countries, the last I checked, and I'm sure it's even like crazier than that. And it's not just like one firefighter. It's like, you know, whole departments are like doing this all over the country, which is really, really cool. And then you can like upload your video or your pictures and your GPS data. So you see all these guys running little loops around their fire station all over the country. It's been great. We, you know, hopefully are inspiring a ton of firefighters to get out of the blue chairs and, you know, like get a little cardio. And I know a lot of them are, it's out of their comfort zone. They're probably more weightlifters, and I think that's great. But you know, 30 minutes of cardio or 40 minutes of cardio isn't going to kill anybody. So, yeah. And then at the end of the month, they'll be able to say like, hey, I ran 100 miles in a month, which is a lot of miles. And that's a cool accomplishment. Plus, like I said, you get all the crews going together. Hey, we're all going to do it. And yeah, it's just adding a lot of positivity into the world.
So I'm going to throw this out here and we'll talk behind the scenes. I think we need to create, or you need to create a shirt that said, I went streaking. And and then, you know, that we could, you could sell them a little bit. You maybe donate some money back to like FRC or National Fallen Firefighters or something. I think people got to earn it, but there you go. I think
that'd be a good idea. Some buff firefighter, like taking his shirt off or something.
Yeah. Just kind of in between firefighter. That's where most of us lie. But yeah. Look at every time you say streaking, I giggle a little bit because that's what we are, right? We're that mentality, but we're also the mentality that loves a challenge. So awesome, dude. Thousands of people, thousands of firefighters are doing this. Did you ever think this is where this would go? And what kind of got you to this point?
I mean, I never thought, you know, I'd be big on social media. What happened is I just started documenting what I do. And I guess what I do is so crazy that
it is a little nuts.
Yeah. People started following me, and then, you know, people started finding out I was a firefighter, and I, you know, made a couple videos of me in the fire service that went super viral. I don't know if you ever saw it, but it was like, I was climbing I'm a truck captain, and I was climbing the aerial. And I had my Insta360 on, so it made it look like the angle was like super dramatic. But yeah, it went viral so many times. Everyone's like, "Oh, this is unsafe," and you know how firefighters get. Like,
oh everyone, god, yeah, yeah.
You know, all the outriggers aren't out, and why aren't you? You know, why aren't you wearing a rope? And you know, whatever. You know, but like, I think that video probably got me a lot of firefighters following me, and then, you know, I do ice baths at the fire station and stuff like that. And that's gone viral a couple of times, and just,
are like all the rage now. Like,
yeah,
more and more people are getting into the ice bath movement.
Total side note on mental health and ice baths is it's another thing that I push, just because for the fire service, it's a great way for me. I hate giving like advice because I'm not a doctor or whatever, but for me, it's a great tool for PTSD sort of stuff, because it really does give you like a large dopamine rush, which is like, you know, the happy molecule, and you really do feel great afterwards. It's also a great way to force yourself to do something that you don't want to do. And when you force yourself to do things that you don't want to do on a daily basis, you know, it builds that mental strength and it allows you to deal with really hard situations better. So later on in life, like say you're going into a fire or say you're doing something very complicated, you're able to emotionally handle it better. And so it's something that I preach a lot about because I hate it. I do it every day and I've done it every day for quite a long time. But it really has helped my mental health game quite a bit and my mental strength game quite a bit. So,
yep. There is some research, you know, preliminary research that shows that it reduces inflammation, obviously, which is what we really is one of the biggest things we combat with our stress and our lack of sleep and our nutrition sometimes. But I do believe too, it does help mental with just a mental kind of mindset, you know. Cold showers. Did you start with cold showers and work your way to the bath?
No, I mean, so I work with a Russian and, you know, Russians are really big into these ice baths.
Yes.
And so, we just bought like a trough at like Tractor Supply, 'cause we have ice machines at all our stations. So the union bought us all these, you know, ice troughs or these, you know, water troughs. And then we just started doing it and it became like competitive at first, right? All firemen are like, oh, I'm going to do it. And then it would be like, who could last the longest?
Ooh,
and we,
you know, yeah,
got into that whole thing. But yeah, we obviously all started to see the like huge benefits. When you get out, you feel amazing. So it's like, if you've had a really hard shift or you've had, you know, a bad call, you know, it's amazing what 2-3 minutes in the ice bath can do for you.
Yeah.
Especially when you get out. When you're in it, you're like, man, this is terrible. So, and then that, of course, because that's gone viral, tons of fire stations all over the country have started like, you know, sending me videos and stuff that, because it's $100 for like, you know, Rubbermaid 100-gallon trough. And so a lot of stations and departments have started picking it up. You know, obviously, some guys have messaged me that their chiefs are not all about it, but some chiefs are a bit, you know, they're a bit old school and, you know, they don't want, you know, that sort of thing. But if they follow the science and they see the health benefits and the, you know, emotional benefits for their guys, and, you know, maybe they'll change. I have a very progressive chief, so I don't necessarily have to worry about that. Although I haven't got him to get in the ice bath.
Yeah. Well,
maybe so.
Right now I can see there's a lot of chiefs, and I've done a couple articles on ice baths, and I've had chiefs text me and say, the only real issue I see with it is one, guys are trying to go too long because they like, I can go longer than someone else. So make sure you keep it within a healthy range, and, you know, don't get into the old, like, I cannot last so-and-so. Use it for what it's supposed to be used for. But then the other one where chiefs are saying, we're losing ice machines left and right in our firehouses, and they couldn't understand why. And now they know. So,
I mean, our ice machine, the ice just melts. And so it's like, I don't know how it would break, because it makes the same amount of ice every day, no matter what. You know, it's like, it just melts and then it makes more and it melts. So it's like, if you use it, it's still making the same amount every day. So that sounds like a chief excuse, you know, like, I'm a union president, so I'm always fighting like the BS of like what chiefs like come up with as excuses. So,
The Fire Store, equipping protectors with passion. Every decision we make as a company is about you, our customer. We wouldn't be where we are today without you, and we don't take that lightly. We understand that having the right gear can mean the difference between life and death. Our goal is to get you the gear you need, when you need it, at prices you can afford. Visit us at thefirestore.com for everything but the truck, and shop our family of brands, including Streamlight, MSA, Lion, Fleer, and more. Now let's get back to the show.
So Andy, I was just curious also if, like, so we've got the ice baths that you're working on here. What else do you use to complement the running? Like, do you do yoga, strength training, anything else?
I mean, I do like fire-related strength training, right? In my turnouts, I do like, you know, workouts in my turnouts. but I'm not a big weightlifter anymore. It's mostly just running. And when I say running, like, you know, I run a lot of times with like a pack with a lot of gear and stuff like that. So it's almost like rucking where you're like, you know, I'm running with like 10 pounds of gear and like going up into the mountains and things like that. So that pretty much takes all my time. And then when I'm at work, I can work out of my turnouts with a bottle and whatnot. I really enjoy stair workouts. I do those stair climbs. I actually just got back from I did the Seattle stair climb this weekend.
Oh, great.
And I like working out in my gear. Although now with this whole, what is it, PFAs or
PFAS,
I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm, it's like, because I work out in my turnout so much.
You know, the PFAS, I think, are obviously an issue because they're in our gear. And right now someone's listening and saying, oh, you shouldn't be working out in his gear. And someone's listening and saying, yeah, they're not maybe that bad. And I think that's what, you know, the union is really trying to get to the bottom of. I will say that some preliminary things that I've heard are, look, yeah, they're in our gear, but we can't necessarily use that as an excuse to not train and be ready for the job. And we still need to do that and let the powers that be kind of work their way through it. But I do think too, though, some people like will use that as an excuse. So let's talk about like excuses and how that really goes into, you know, your mental game a little bit. Cause I'm curious, man, when you're at mile like 25, what in the hell is going through your head?
Mile 25 is like, I'm just warming up, you know, like when I said the first mile sucks, like when I'm in a 100-mile race or like a 200-mile race, like, you know, 25 miles in is just like, that's just the beginning. I'm not even like, you know, like I'm still in the pain mode and that, it takes me quite a while to get into the, like where it starts to really struggle. And I always say like mile 80 is like the, you know, that's where the race really begins and that's where things get really hard.
What do you focus on? Cause that's one of my, honestly, like that's one of my problems. I get bored.
Right.
You know, if I start running. So like, what do you do? How do you manage that?
When you go that far, like your brain, like one of the reasons I really enjoy like ultra running is because when you start getting really deep into the, like the pain cave and really deep into like the mileage, like your brain sort of like turns off. And like, for me, I stop like all the things that you think about when you're having like PTSD stress and you're thinking about these things. They just like go away. And I find that very soothing. And so like you get into this like sort of mindset where all you're really focused on is like surviving. It's like your body goes, it's almost like lizard brain, where it's like all you're really like focused on is like moving forward. And I need to eat, I need to drink, and I need to move forward. And all the, like, you know, the problems at work or like some horrible call you had or like problems you're having with your wife or whatever, it all goes away. And it's just, you're just surviving. And I mean, that's one of the, like the best parts about ultra running for me is it's very therapeutic to me to just like get into that survival mode and just keep grinding forward. Boredom. I mean, I'm normally out in like just absolutely beautiful areas. And so, you know, it's hard to get bored when you're like surrounded by nature, but you know, I just did a race where I ran 100 times around a lake. It was a 1 mile loop. And, you know, obviously that gets a little boring, but I also run quarter mile loops around a fire station. So, you know, these are all just things I do to like help toughen myself up mentally. If you get bored, I mean, listen to a podcast, listen to music, you know, call your wife on the phone and talk to her. You can do a lot of things nowadays while you run because of like the technology that's out there. You know, listening to a podcast and like learning about something interesting, while you run, like, again, I'm saying zone two running, you're not sprinting. You're just running, you're jogging. You can just listen to something, learn and, you know, listen to this podcast right here. And, while you're running and, you know, next thing you know, you've done 5 miles and it's over. Or, you know, because I'm a union president, like, I take most of my phone calls during my runs. And everyone knows that unless it's an emergency, you can't talk to Andy unless it's during his running times, which is in the morning and the evening. My wife is like, no more calls in the afternoon. That's family time. But if it's early in the morning or late at night when Andy's running, that's when you make your union calls to complain about, you know, what the Chief's doing today or whatever, you know. And if you're talking on the phone, it's amazing how fast the miles click by when you're just like having a conversation or like engaged that way too. So there's little tricks like that. I mean, yeah, if you just go out with no music, like a psycho, and just run, yeah, it might get boring. But you know, there's things you can do to distract yourself.
I love the fact you said you kind of use gratitude, right? Like when you're going through your run, you're like, how beautiful is this, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah, I talk a lot about it like on my social media, but definitely I'm like, it's a reset, right? I mean, we live in a like a very busy world and there's so much stress in our lives. And you go out and, you know, whether you're nature or whether you're just running through the city, there's just something very peaceful about just you and listening to your breathing and like the art of movement. And again, it doesn't have to be running. I mean, it can be cycling, it can be, you know, swimming, whatever. Like you're going to see like really cool things. I mean, for me, because I run every day, I love just seeing the world change every day, you know, seeing the seasons come, the sun comes up at a different time. What does the sunrise look like? What does the sunset look like? What flowers are blooming nowadays? Like, you know, what fruit is growing on the trees? Like these are all California issues, yeah, but like, these are the things that, you know, that I see. I understand that in large parts of the country, it's like, I see snow and it's just snow every time. I get it, but I just want you guys to all remember I pay really high taxes. So, you know.
Yeah, everybody just breathe easy now.
Yeah, he's paying for this. A lot of taxes for this great weather. So it's where I'm at.
But you don't, maybe it's not scenery. Maybe it's just the fact that you can do something like that, right? Like we all have to dig for gratitude. And when you train yourself to do that, it parlays into everything you do, right? Like, and I think that's the big thing, you know, that we want people to take away from this podcast, right? You don't have to be an ultra marathoner, but practice gratitude, do something, you know, what's some more information or what else would you tell the people right now that are saying there's no way I'm going to run an ultra marathon, but they also need to start working out, you know, let's talk to those contemplators here a little bit, give them, you know, cause you didn't start doing this. You were a pizza drinking.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. So,
obviously the key is just to start. It is a very rewarding like experience and it will make you feel better over the time. And I think the key is really just being consistent with it and like, but then also giving yourself grace. Like if you like mess up and like skip a couple days, I have a big thing where I say like Monday's the best day of the week. And why Monday is the best day of the week is because it's a fresh start. So like if last week was terrible, like say you didn't work out one day last week. Well, today's Monday. Let's start fresh and, you know, let's have a good week and just put yourself in that mindset. Huge goals are accomplished by a series of very small goals. And you can break those small goals up into days or weeks. I like weeks because that gives you the ability to still mess up a couple times, but still have a good week. And then if it doesn't work out, then the next week's a new fresh week and you get 52 of them in a year, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I push that a lot, just like, hey, was last white week terrible? Okay. Who cares? As in the past, we're moving forward. Today's Monday. We're going to go hard this week and we're going to have a good week. If you have another bad week, okay, well, we're learning and we're trying to do better. People, you know, they try and then when they fail, they give up. And, you know, my thing is like, take that failure and learn from it. But like, you know, also recognize that you're going to have a series of failures before you succeed. And you're going to have to make a lot of small goals in order to get those big goals. So if you're on the couch and, you know, your goal is to lose 20 pounds, don't think it didn't go on your body fast. It's not going to come off your body fast. Right. So just slowly start moving. Like this 100-mile challenge, you know, I have a couple firefighters I know that are pretty overweight and they're just walking it. They're walking 3 miles a day. And they've told me, hey, I'm feeling so good. And it's almost addictive. You know, I was sitting on the couch and I felt a little anxious and I thought, I got to go walk my 3 miles. And it is, it gets a little addictive, and and that movement, your body craves it, but you forget that you need it when you're not doing it for long periods of time. But once you start feeding your body those miles again, or whatever the exercise is, your body's going to start reminding you like, hey, like, let's go feel good. Let's go get that, you know, that rush of, you know, hormones or whatever after the workout, because, you know, we all know the run might suck, but after the run, you're going to feel great. So.
Well, and you hit on a lot of different things that we stand for here. We're about being better every day, or every shift, or every stride in your case,
yes,
or step. But you know, that's exactly right. You, like, set up these small things, these small accomplishments lead to something much greater. And we talked about that with our Resilient 50 challenge. You talk about that with your 100-mile challenge. We have Wellness Week at the end of March coming up, where we basically, you know, talk about different categories here with Lexapol and Fire Rescue One, just emphasizing that, like with nutrition, some subtle changes done consistently, same thing with mental health, same thing with running and fitness. You know, these subtle changes can really add up to some large and lofty goals. You know, did you ever think about where you would be if you didn't find that side of you, you know, because like for people that go, oh, he's naturally a great runner, it doesn't sound like that was you. You acquired this passion, but did you ever think about where you'd be if you didn't?
I probably wouldn't be anywhere good. I try not to, like, you know, go down that rabbit hole too deep, but you know, it wouldn't be a good situation. Cause I was not in a good spot. So,
you were searching for your dopamine in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, yeah, you know, exactly, through food and through, you know, drugs and alcohol, and like, you know, which, yeah, makes you feel good very temporarily, but you know, not in the long term. And yeah, and I a lot of firemen love to drink, and you know, a lot of firemen like to deal with their PTSD through drinking. And I just think there's a better way. And you know, that's what I preach. I try not to get judgy. I understand that, you know, drinking is fun, and you know, alcohol has its place, but everything in moderation. And you know, PTSD is a real thing. It affects a lot of us. I tell people, I make videos, you know, talking about my PTSD signs. And, you know, last week I had a really bad flare up, and I talked about it a lot and really struggled for, you know, a week or so. And, you know, I was able to get through it just, you know, using my protocols, but you know, I'm human, and I have a hard time too. And I just, you know, I want people to do it the best way and not necessarily just cloak it, but, you know, actually deal with it. And, you know, there's therapy, there's medication, there's a lot of different things. And I like that the fire service focuses on the therapy and the medication, but I think it's not a one size fits all. And I think that firemen like to be challenged, and firemen like to be fit, they like to do physical things. And so, you know, I think that we need to focus a little bit on that as well. Like, yeah, therapy has a place, and yeah, medication has a place, but so does, you know, exercise. And like you were saying, diet, nutrition, all that sort of stuff has a place too. It's a whole holistic circle that helps us if we do it all. So,
yeah, we're all about building each other up. And I think that's the true meaning of the brotherhood and sisterhood, whereas some people think it's going out and partying. My take on it, and I think, you know, obviously a lot of our guests believe the same thing. It's doing whatever you can do to build that person up in a positive manner. And so with that, if people want to reach you, how do they connect with you?
On Instagram, I'm AM Glaze, like Am Glaze. On TikTok, I'm what am I? Glaze Runs. Although who knows if TikTok's gonna be around much longer.
Right.
Yeah, I think those are the main ones. On Strava, I'm Andrew Glaze, if you have Strava. So
it's a great app for those that are beginning to run or train
or cycle or anything. I mean, my wife uses it for like lifting weights and stuff like that too.
You know, man, I appreciate you just coming on and talking about, you know, your journey and using it to motivate others, but you know, you're not off yet. We still have some hot seat questions for you. We want to dig a little bit deeper, but before we get into that, man, this is great stuff. you know, keep running and motivating. And, you know, if people want to join you, we highly recommend doing that. And so just keep inspiring, brother. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. So I'm going to go off script a little bit here for the first hot seat question. I want to know, I know, Aaron, it's the,
you got to prep me, right? Before you go off. I mean,
so I like this phrase that you came up with, a smile, or you're doing it wrong.
Right.
And I just want to know what the origin story was of that.
Okay. So, I mean, the origin story is there's a trail near my house and its name is You're Either Smiling or You're Crying. And it's this amazing trail section that I love. And I said to my friend one day, man, if you're not smiling on this trail, you're doing it wrong. And so that's sort of the origin, but it's obviously morphed into sort of like what you were saying earlier, like a gratitude thing, like just a reminder, especially in races, like how lucky we are to be able to move and do these races. And even when you're in really low points in races, to just, you know, remind yourself, like there's people that are injured. There's people that were born and not be able to run or do exercise. There's people that are sick and dying of cancer and things. And like, we are so lucky. So let's just like smile and like, remember that, you know, that's, we're here for a reason. And then, you know, what I've found through years and years of running is like, people don't like to smile when they run. Like, you know, you see these people and a lot of times they're just very grimaced out and very like, but if you smile at them, they instinctively will smile back at you. And then something happens in their brain where then all of a sudden they're like, whoa, why am I smiling? And then like, you know, there's a chemical reaction and, you know, maybe then they'll like start to feel better. So it's a lot, it's become a bigger thing than how it started, but you know, it's basically just a reminder that, you know, we're very lucky to be doing what we're doing and to be healthy. Yeah.
Got to smile through the pain cave, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to take that smile or you're doing it wrong. I believe that in the fire service, when we're on the truck and we're on duty, like, I think that's the same kind of attitude we need to take, because there's a lot of people that want to do our jobs or don't, you know, that maybe didn't get the opportunity. And we all have joined the fire service because of that. We had that feeling where you're like, I get to ride that fire truck.
You know, right. Right. Hey, we're right? Not on the ambulance. If you're on the truck, you should be smiling that you're not on the ambulance. Right.
Even if you're on the ambulance, you're making a difference. You're going to make an impact.
You but know? But I'm just saying,
yeah,
you're smiling yeah. a little bit bigger on the truck.
It's a little more effort when you're on the box. But with that though, right? Like, we want everybody to have that attitude in the fire service. We're not there yet. We're getting there with people like yourself and programs like this. But what do you think are the biggest issues facing the fire service today?
Besides the two like glaring ones of like mental health and like cardiovascular/cancer stuff like that, I think the biggest one is just the new generation coming on is they're just motivated differently than like the previous generations. And I think that I'm a Gen Xer, and I think Gen Xers are having a really hard time dealing with like this new generation as far as how to motivate them and how to lead them. Because if you treat them the same way that we were treated, you're going to wash out a lot of people, and, you're going to have, you know, you're going to be an unsuccessful leader. So you're going to see guys fail probation, not, or quit, or just not be successful. And I think that we need to like adjust our leadership strategies for this new generation. It's not things that people want to hear, but like, we're just going to have to, you know, give more positive encouragement. You're going to have to tell guys they're doing a good job. You're going to have to do the things that like we never got because we didn't need it, but like this new generation needs it. And it's just, people don't want jobs that are like really challenging and difficult anymore. And so I think if we're washing this generation out, it's going to be hard to like, you know, get people to take our spots later on. We're having a huge problem in California with this, is just hiring people. Like when I applied to like 30 departments before I got hired. And like now, you know, it's like, if you have a pulse and a paramedic card, you can get hired anywhere. And departments are literally fighting for candidates and like offering like $15,000 bonuses to sign with their department. I mean, it's insane. So, and then they come to that department and the old crusty Gen Xer washes them out because, you know, their attitude is not what our attitude was when we got into the fire service. So I've taken a bunch of classes and read a bunch of, articles about the different generations, and they just are motivated different. So we just have to adjust our strategies instead of getting mad about it.
Yeah. Life is different. When you and I got hired, there weren't a lot of jobs. I mean, now right. though, right. Like you can go work for the fire department, or you can go down the road and work for Tesla, or, I'm in California, you got to use, California companies, but you hit it on the head. We have to understand the generation a little bit better. I think we have to educate them and the public a little bit better about what our role is really in society. And so it's a challenging time, but I think it's also just an exhilarating, great time to be a part of the next generation of the fire service, man.
Yeah.
I really believe we're in great hands with people like yourself and Janelle, who's running behind the scenes. You should see her team that she's put together. She's like the wizard back there, and I'm just happy to be around it. So,
yeah. No. Well, it's definitely I think this generation that we're coming through, we have different thoughts and opinions about things, and that the older generation is retiring. And, for me, I think that's a good thing, not to disrespect them, but there's a new thought process in how the fire services needs to be run. And I'm hoping to usher that in.
Yeah. Me too, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, Andy. What's the biggest challenge you've overcome recently that is not 100 mile a week?
Yeah. I'll just say this right now. My biggest challenge is that I have a 13-year-old and a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old. And that's a huge challenge, but I won't dive deep into that, but it's that right now is testing my will.
Godspeed.
But last year I ran a 100-mile race and then, took an airplane flight to Arizona and then ran a 250 mile race a day later. So I did 350 miles with 57,000 feet of climbing in 7 days. That was my biggest, that's been one of my biggest mental and physical tests that I've ever done in my whole life.
Holy cow. That's pretty intense. Okay. I'm just still wrapping my head around that.
So. Yeah. That was a lot. So.
Okay. One more for you before we wrap it up with Aaron, but who's the biggest influence in your life?
I'm going to try to, it's going to be hard. My dad, but I lost him a little over a year ago. Mm-hmm. So it's been really, really challenging. But my dad has always been my biggest influence and will always be my biggest influence.
Yeah. What's the biggest part? Work ethic?
He was an extremely hard worker. He ran his own business. He owned a car dealership, but he really instilled in me the power of positivity and was obsessed with being positive. He used to, every night at dinner, we would all go around the table and he would talk about the most positive thing that happened to you that day. And, that just is always really stayed with me. So,
yeah. Do you do that at the firehouse sometimes? Just obviously informally.
Yeah. Yeah. I do it in the firehouse. I do it at my house. I practice and preach positivity quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, that's great. I'm sure he'd be proud of seeing what you're doing. I mean, obviously he'd be proud because you're on this podcast. You're influencing so many people. Which is why it's just great to have you here. And, I said earlier, just keep doing it. I'm sure he'd be proud of you. Okay. I got one more question for you though.
Okay.
What are you doing to get better?
I mean, my entire life is me trying to get better from waking up to going to sleep. I'm just trying to figure myself out. And I think the thing that I do the most is I take on very scary, challenging goals that I think I'm going to fail. And sometimes I do fail. And I think that is what I'm doing the most is putting myself into a situation where failure is very possible And sometimes I succeed and sometimes I fail, but either way, I learn a lot about myself and I take that knowledge and just try to make myself better. It's like self-discovery on every day is just trying to figure Andy Glaze out better. So,
yeah,
I love that.
That's awesome. It's like win or learn.
Right.
You never lose, you know, as long as you have the right mindset and you definitely have that, brother. Thank you for sharing that. You know, we're super happy that you stopped by and you know, enlightened us with your motivation. And, you know, that's what we're really about here on the Better Every Shift podcast. If you are just listening to this podcast, though, I encourage you to go over and watch, and you can see the passion. You can see how genuine Captain Andy Glaze is about helping others and about just transferring that positivity on. So please go over to our YouTube channel. You can go to firerescue1.com. We actually have a Better Every Shift page dedicated to all of our episodes. We'd love to hear from you. We hope that you rate, review the show. You can reach us and email us at bettereveryshift@firerescue1.com. Thank you, Captain Andy Glaze, for joining us. You are an ultra marathoner, an ultra great person. And we ultra thank you for using your wisdom to help motivate us, because it is all about being better. It's about learning something, doing something, and sharing something to make you and those around you better every shift. Thanks for listening, everybody.